All right, we are joined by Mr. Detlef Hoyne and Miss Liliana Tagliamonte, which I think I got that right.
Yes, you got it right.
And you guys are flying all the way around the world. However, I noticed that apparently you're really lousy navigators because, like, you're going all over the place. Most people just go straight. You're going there. You're probably going to stop at my house. I don't know.
Wait a minute. They're not lousy navigators. They're taking a scenic route. You know.
Oh, yes. I thought they had one of those newfangled GPS things that never knows where it is.
Oh, come on. You know, everybody knows that GPS, especially in automotive applications, stands for going places slowly.
Nice.
Or stupidly, your choice.
All right. Well, let's get to the subject at hand here.
So you're flying around the world. Why?
Well, we're flying around the world because we have been to so many places in Europe, and at the end, Europe was small, so we said, outside there is a more world, we have to check it out.
And that's all it took?
That's all it took. Well, it took a little bit more. We had some years of planning, and afterwards we decided to build our own airplane.
You built a nice RV-7 from what I see. Gorgeous RV-7.
Thanks very much.
So I guess if you're going to do this, you might as well go first class.
Well, you know, that's one of my questions. Why did you choose an RV-7? There's a lot of kit-built airplanes out there. Why an RV-7?
As I think so, the RV-7, that's one of the best multi-talents. So it's fast, it's very stable, so we can carry a lot of luggage with it. We could add fuel tanks, so we doubled our fuel quantity, so we have now 84 gallons. That makes means we have a lot to weight to carry, and so far as RV, it's just not a problem.
So you now, you guys have already embarked on your journey. This is basically just one stop.
Yes, this is one stop of the many stops we are going to do. We started last year in Florida, where we finished our airplane in Punta Gorda, then went to Lantana, and then Bahamas, Dominican Republic, heading down to the English Guiana, Brazil, Argentina, to the very top, Ushuaia, and heading back up to Peru, Ecuador, Galapagos, Costa Rica, Belize, and back here to the States.
That's amazing. What's it like to try and plan something like this? I mean, you're going to places where airports are not common, fuel is probably even less common, language is a problem.
Well, the language is, at the beginning, not a problem for me. I'm Spanish, so I did all the communications and every talking to the, if paperwork has to be done. For the other side, Brazil and Argentina are very, very good countries to fly. No problems at all. We are very happy to also have known the Dominican Republic, which makes very easy flying for general aviation, and they're doing a great job. And Chile is also not a problem. We had too much paperwork in Peru and the Ecuador. And it showed us that some countries can be a little bit problematic.
I think she's putting that nicely.
Yeah,
diplomatically.
Very nicely. It's better than saying they were just outright rude.
Well, they had some kind of high fees for general aviation, overflight fees, and lots of parking fees. And
looking out the window at you fees.
Yes.
Checking your paper fees.
And also permissions. Permissions over permissions.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I can only imagine. I was thinking it's like the smaller the government, the more the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yes, the problem was those two countries don't have really general aviation. So you just handle like a big airplane,
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where you begin to start to contact a country like that to know who to talk to.
Yes, well, we in Peru, we had just to contact really the main office of what it's called there, the FAA, to have the permission to fly around the country. Just the same way in Ecuador, to have permissions especially to fly to the Galapagos. And, well, it just takes time and talking to the people. And, well, but we are here.
You are here in Oshkosh. Now, is this your first time here?
No, it's our second time, our first time with our airplane. And we're really happy to be part of this whole huge event. And also happy to be a little part of this spirit of aviation.
Oh, I think you're fulfilling a dream for a lot of people.
Yeah, you really
I know, I
are.
Was thinking about changing myself into a piece of luggage so I could go with you.
Yes.
I was willing to go as far as to become one of your wheels. So.
Yes.
I was thinking about propeller, but I have balance problems. So, well, listen, so, you know, one of the things that I thought about is here you're flying long distances and, you know, there's always the potential to have to make a forced landing somewhere. I was wondering, what kind of long-distance communications equipment do you have on board the airplane? Are you carrying like a satellite phone?
No, we have not a satellite phone. We have a HF radio.
Okay, so now you're going back some years.
what we need and use in Argentina. And so you are right. So we flew all the southern part of Argentina and there was no possibility to land. So everything rough terrain, and we flew a couple of hours without any communication. So even HF radio, maybe you have a HF radio, you have good communication for thousands of kilometers, but not for 200 or 300 kilometers. You're out of the VHF range and out of the HF range. So we are long times we flew alone.
Did you have one of the new 406 megahertz ELTs on board?
Yes, we have it, and we have also a spot so people can track us.
Yeah, okay. I did see that on your website.
Yes.
That's pretty good planning, because on a long distance journey like this, you just never know. What about avionics on board the airplane outside of the high frequency radio? What do you have?
At first, we have two AVs. We have everything as a backup. So we have two battery systems, two batteries. Everything is backup. So if some fails, we have no problems.
Okay, well, let's get back to your journey. You've started now. This is a 4-year trip?
A 3-year trip. I mean, we did already 1 year. 2 years to go.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine how you arrange your life to allow you to do that.
Well, you have to arrange it to the minimum. Minimum in clothes, minimum in everything.
Wow.
And maximum in gas.
Yeah, maximum in gas.
Go ahead. You're sacrificing everything. You know, fuel, of course, is paramount. And speaking of fuel, how has aviation gasoline, how available is it in some of these other countries?
Well, in we're using car gas.
Okay.
So car gas we find in every port, in every airport, in every country. We don't like to go to big airports. We always go to smaller airports where we can go out, take our fuel cans, and just refuel in any gas station.
And filter it carefully.
And filter it carefully. That's why we have a good filter, too.
Oh, yes.
That was
one
thing that I was worried about, was that fuel contamination could be a very bad thing. I know I got to do
okay,
the same
that
thing.
Was an interesting background piece.
Yes.
Well, we're going to wish you good luck on your continued journeys.
Yes.
And I'll be strapping myself under the wing, so don't bother checking the wheels
okay.
on the pre-flight.
Right, and the other thing is I'll be on the other wing because you got to balance the
balance
airplane.
The load.
Okay.
All right, it's been great talking with you guys.
Great talking to you, and thanks for everything.
What's your next stop real quick?
Well, next stop will be Michigan. just the guy that called us.
Oh, okay.
Very good, very good. He's probably going, are you there yet?
Yes, he's saying, are you having good fun? You're not coming or you're not coming?
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with our next guest. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.